are live here on Blog Talk Radio for the End Zone Falcon Zone Super Pro Football Show. For today's we've been titled End of an Era. Got some fun things we're going to talk about a little bit later. Big announcement coming up as well. And just a lot of fun things to get to. Of course, we are presented today by Impact Media. I'm your host, Jeremy the Impact York. It is good to be here. Definitely good to be here. The weather's kind of giving us a little bit of a break up here in the Atlanta area. Seemed like every week it's going to be cold and then get warmer. Today was nice. Tomorrow will be even better. I'm not complaining about weather. I enjoy it. I'm sure you guys do, too. End of an era is what we're going to talk about today. End of an era. There's we will get more into that a little later, of course. Reggie and Coach couldn't join us. Of course, they had other things. They other prior engagements. Coach is at a great event. Of course, we'll have them on in the next coming weeks. But, you know, we're going to talk some Super Bowl here in a second. I'm going to catch you up on a few of the bigger stories in the NFL as of this week. And, of course, we'll also explain how things are going to go from here on out. End of an era. You know, sometimes things need to end so that other things can begin. It should be fun. I got some Falcon Zone-related stuff I want to get into here in a little while, but we'll get to that a little bit later. I do want to start by talking about that amazing Super Bowl. I say amazing because if you like defensive battles, it was quite one. By far the number one and number two defenses in the league against the number one offense in Carolina. And I'm not sure where Denver ranked. I'm sure they were mid-tier somewhere. But I think we have figured out, A, the weak points on Carolina. That would be the right tackle position, left tackle, unfortunately, blindside. He didn't do as bad as the right tackle, but he did, it was rough. When you have two premium pass rushers like Von Miller and DeMarcus Ware, you can't block them both. It's what Houston's trying to do with J.J. Watt and Jadeveon Clowney. It's what the Falcons need to think about doing is putting a book in on the other side of Vic Beasley. It's harder to stop two than one. I'm just going to kind of go team by team breakdown, and we'll talk about a little bit at the end. As far as Carolina, I felt like the biggest matchup all night was their offensive line versus the Denver pass rush. We just talked about that. Clearly, I mean, Wolf had a great day. There was so many people that just absolutely annihilated that offensive line. It's not that offensive line was that bad. It was just that the pass rush was that good. Don't think defenses can win championships? Yeah, here's Exhibit A and B right here. Cam did leave the press conference early. He was a little perturbed, so to say, which is fine. You know, it's only his fifth year in the league. He's still kind of a kid. He's 26 years old. I'm not making excuses for him, but the media side of me says, yeah, you're supposed to stay because it's in your contract. But kind of the fan of the league kind of says, he didn't really have anything good to say, and you know, he wasn't in the best of moods. Maybe they should have waited 5 minutes or so, let him chill out and take everything in. But I'm not the judge of that. Now, as far as Carolina, they did end up gaining more yards than Denver. And it was by a good many. Let me see if I can get it real quick. Total yards. Denver had 194. That was, let's see, that was 104 passing. That was 90 rushing. And Carolina was able to get 315. So they had them by 111 or so, something like that, 121. I mean, 197 passing, 118 rushing, that's pretty solid. But they got less points, and that's where it really mattered. That's where it really counts. Ely, Thomas Davis, Keekly, all had pretty solid outings. In fact, Keekly had 10 tackles. He had a sack. He had a tackle for loss. Thomas Davis had 7 tackles and a tackle for loss. Ely had he ended up with 3 sacks, I believe. 2 tackles for a loss and the interception. I mean, these guys had good games. There was a couple Mike Tolbert fumbles that didn't go quite their direction, or by quite, I mean at all. Graham Gano was 1 for 2 in field goals. He pushed it to the right off the post early. I mean, he was one of the most solid kickers all year, but it just shows you that, you know, any given chance, you can miss one of those. It just seemed like, to me, Carolina just had no answers for the speed rushers. Yeah, they got the power, but they were running all around them. I mean, just running right past Carolina. You just can't beat the speed and power that they were bringing at them. Now, as we move on to Denver, of course, Manning gets his second Super Bowl win. He's now 2-2, I believe, in Super Bowls. The big question is he done? Well, I'm going to go over some other stuff about this game, and then we'll come back to that question. Because I'm going to stick by a previous statement based off things I've heard in the last 24 hours from people that know a little bit more than I do. Peyton was solid. He kind of had a Brady-like game as far as it was a lot of short, intermediate passes. You know, just kind of played small ball for the most part. It looked like they had 7 or 8 plays to start each half that were already lined up. Like, we're going to run these plays in this order, and then we'll gauge the game from there. And I don't think Carolina did that. I think everything was off the cuff. They might want to consider thinking about that. Von Miller, he gets the MVP, absolutely deserved it. About 5 or 6 minutes left in the game, the thing come across my phone that MVP voting was open. And I looked at everybody in the room and I said, it has to be Von Miller, right? Of course, he gets it. He had 6 tackles. He had 2.5 sacks. And that's about typical Von Miller. I mean, you got to put him with J.J. Watt as some of the most dominant pass rushers in this game. Like in the NFL game, not just this game in particular. C.J. Anderson was a major factor late. He was able to chunk up some yards and eat some time off the clock. And, you know, he had some runs early as well. C.J. Anderson, I think you got to put him up there in the top 7 or 8 rushers this year because he's always solid. And he was able to, you know, balance out the pass attack to where it keeps you honest, keeps you from stepping back all the time. You got to always account for him. What I want to know is, I mean, do we have to check milk cartons for Bebe, for Demaryius Thomas? Where has he been this entire playoffs? I mean, I know he got hurt. He got dinged up a little bit in the first half. I understand that, but I mean, this entire playoffs, Demaryius has kind of been hit or miss. Kind of been a little weird. I mean, you know, he's not obviously lost. But it'd be nice to see where he went. Let's see, he had 1 catch for 8 yards. He was targeted 6 times. I mean, I don't know. It's not like a lot of passes were thrown, but it could have had to do with the coverage. You know, Josh Norman was over that way a little bit. Those kinds of things happen. Emmanuel Sanders had about 60% of the yards, though, I believe. Let's see, 83 of 141. Yeah, that's about right.
Emmanuel Sanders is one of those receivers where you wouldn't expect him to have a lot of big numbers. You know he's good, but he eats up yards in a good way. He's one of those after-the-catch guys. You just get him some space, and he was able to carry the workload for the entire playoffs, really, where some of the other receivers just weren't quite, picking up their normal slack. Owen Daniels had the big catch early. So did Caldwell, big chunks of yards there. C.J. Anderson coming out of the backfield, he seemed to have a lot of openings as well. But, I mean, the emergence of Emmanuel Sanders as the top receiver, we all thought Demaryius Thomas was. Turns out, I think it's Emmanuel Sanders. And as far as them moving forward, yeah, I could see him being a part of it. And he should probably be the feature. And I would drop Demaryius to number two and give him different matchups like that. I'd move him all over the place to get him better matchups. One of the downfalls for Denver to me was Aqib Talib and his accountability, especially as far as penalties. He had a few just dumb penalties, the personal foul. He had a few after that. And I understand he gets emotional and into the game and stuff like that, but, I mean, Aqib, buddy, everywhere you go, there's a reason why you don't stick around very long. They just get tired of putting up with it. I mean, he's nowhere near where the Bengals were the other night. But at the same time, he's constantly getting penalties that just aren't needed. I mean, if you want to call yourself the best cover corner in the league, I think you need to look at Darrell Revis, who doesn't get a lot of those penalties like that. You got to be able to keep your attitude in check. Of course, like I said, the Von Miller-DeMarcus Ware combo put on a heck of a show. He had a combined 4.5 sacks. Of course, that means that's 2 for Ware and 2.5 for Miller. They were all over the backfield. At some point, I think Cam may have thought they were a running back. He might even try to hand them the ball. I'm not sure on that one. But I think they've proven, the Broncos proved that as long as your defense is middle of the road or so, as long as it's effective at times, and you got two big-time rushers coming around the edge, linebackers that can cover and run in, I think this could be the formula to win. And if you look at that formula, I mean, you got to look back at Seattle. With a couple tweaks, you could see New England. I've said for years, if the now L.A. Rams or the Houston Texans were to find solid quarterback play, I mean, they're right there. I think they're both those teams that could easily turn the corner. Of course, McManus went 3 for 3 in his field goals. The guy's been just money ever since taking over early in the year. And Norwood's punt return for 61 yards, that solidified the momentum swing. And, I mean, it was all she wrote at that point. Absolutely. Just, it was done. I mean, Denver wins 24-10. I don't know if this game was that close. Here it is. C.J. Anderson, he had 23 attempts, 90 yards, including the touchdown. He had a 34-yard burst that was a thing of beauty. I mean, absolute just thing of beauty. But, some fun things coming up later. We'll get into the big announcement here a little bit later on. Let's go back to the question I said at the very beginning of the Denver section. Is Manning done? Well, if you're going to ride off into the sunset, you definitely want to ride off in that particular fashion, getting your second one. If he's not, is he done in Denver? Yeah, I think he's done in Denver. I think Brock Osweiler may be kept around, but I don't think he's the long-term answer. But as far as it goes, I would say this time, you know, at least in the next couple of years, I see Peyton as a part of an ownership group or a part of, maybe he manages the GM and the people that watch all the facets of the team, you know, the personnel side, the financial side, the coaching side. Maybe he's one of those type of GMs. I feel like he's going to be in some sort of leadership role. Although, if you listen to Magic Johnson the other night on Jimmy Fallon with Peyton sitting there, I think he wants him to be an L.A. Rams quarterback. Now, Ross Tucker, of the Ross Tucker Football Podcast, of course, he wrote a column the other day for his Sports on Earth column article, where he said that it would make the most sense to him that if Peyton plays next year, it's for the L.A. Rams. I think it's possible. Peyton likes being in the entertainment world, in the limelight. You know, he's been all these different commercials between Papa John's and, I mean, God help him if Budweiser hadn't given him some sort of endorsement after all the name drops he pulled there. But to be in the L.A. market, you know, he's been on Saturday Night Live before. Maybe he gets into some acting and some things like that. I could definitely see it. Go out there for a year, you know, get his feet into the things and, you know, get him sunk in enough to where these other opportunities will present themselves. I mean, who knows? I could definitely see that. I think Houston or Tennessee or something like that would be a bigger possibility. I could also see him, that ownership group I'm talking about, I could also see Tennessee, and that's really where my guess would lie, is that in the next couple of years, the Tennessee Titans will be on the selling block, and I think Peyton, who is still huge in Tennessee, I really do think that's where he's going to go, because he's such a great football-minded person. I think he could possibly, you know, can't say resurrect, because Tennessee's only had a few high spots, unfortunately, you know, really bring the Titans up to a recognizable franchise. I think he could do well with that. But, you know, as far as the Super Bowl, like I said, it was a defensive battle. A handful of people liked it, a handful of people didn't. You're always going to get that. I thought overall Lady Gaga killed it with the you know, the Star Spangled Banner and all that kind of stuff. And, you know, if she continues to sing like that, I mean, literally, maybe she is, you know, this generation's Madonna type person. She definitely has the vocals for it. She can flat out sing. The halftime show, you know, Coldplay was doing well. They had the colors. They had a kaleidoscope thing going on, which is really cool. Bruno Mars jumped in the fray. He added a little bit to it without taking away from Coldplay. They actually did some duet stuff. Beyonce jumped in, and they kind of had this three-headed attack, tri-battle thing. I thought it was solid too. I'm not the world's biggest fan of Coldplay or Bruno Mars or Beyonce for that matter. I mean, I like her music and respect her and the things she's done, and both those other acts as well, Coldplay and Bruno Mars, but I thought it was solid. I would have liked to see maybe a little more localized nod. I mean, you're in San Francisco. You had Santana, who did the CBS song for intros and stuff, but yet he was nowhere near the halftime show. you know, a lot of people said Metallica, Metallica being one of my favorite acts. I could see it, but I don't know that they're the right kind of band for that kind of thing. I won't complain if they are. But, you know, use some more local flavor. Like, it's in Houston next year, so let's find some Houston-related acts and bands and try to see if they would be interested in doing it. Because it does cost them money to be here now. So, I mean, that could have a lot to do with it. But, yeah, as far as the Super Bowl, you know, everybody at the place I was at had a good time. We all ate really good. Had a good time. I really think the little ones had more fun than the rest of us. But we all had a good time. It's kind of sad to see some of the, you know, I was watching with a lot of the people that watched a lot of the games with us all year long. We'll have to find some other ways to hang out now, of course. But that's just part of it, and that's just my little halfway sad moment, I guess. But on to other things, because there are some fun things. Like, of course, the Raiders are going to announce the new lease with O.co Coliseum, that's where Oakland Coliseum goes, to stay in Oakland. It's a one-year deal with options for 2017 and 2018. What does this mean? Well, this is them circling the wagons and covering themselves just like San Diego did. Still a possibility for them to move. They're just keeping their options open and letting their home base fans, as of now, that being Oakland and San Diego, no. Still come to the games this year. We'll be here. Makes sense. And, you know, speaking of Ross Tucker, the other day he's filling in for Dan on the Dan Patrick Show, and they started a debate as to the best-looking jerseys. Yeah, I'm right there with you, Ross. It's by far the Oakland Raiders. Both their home and away jerseys got to be some of the best in the league. And I'm not even biased. Moving on. Bengals linebacker Vontaze Burfict. He got suspended 3 games for the hit on Steelers' Antonio Brown. He decided to appeal it. The NFL said, tough noogies. Still get 3 games. So I think 3 is a little light. But at the same time, it is what it is. Next thing. LeSean McCoy got charged with assault, I think simple assault, on 2 off-duty police officers. Apparently it was over a bottle of champagne or something at a club. I don't know that he knew if they were off-duty cops or not, but apparently that doesn't matter. Whether they're in uniform or out of uniform, whether you know they're cops or not, if you physically harm a policeman, then apparently it's pretty bad. He did turn himself in yesterday, I believe. There was warrants expected either Wednesday or Thursday of this week anyway. So he decided to turn himself in yesterday. And, of course, there was no decision on an arrest warrant yet expected as of today. You know, maybe something happens between then. But for now, LeSean McCoy is not technically... He's just been charged so far. Nothing. We don't know what's become of it. Marshawn Lynch has a new, I guess, hashtag. Not really hashtag. I guess different. I guess what? What's the best way? I'm just going to say what it is. Okay. The best way it is, it's retire mode, boss. He has decided to hang him up. He put a thing out on Twitter, I believe, saying that this is pretty much it. And he's had a super good career. I've enjoyed watching him play. And Seattle is in the process of, you know, pretty much moving on from him anyway. Which leads me to, you know what, I'm gonna leave the highlight as the upper one. Get into some of the releases. I'll get into the Falcons a little bit later, of course, in Falcon Zone. The Eagles have released Riley Cooper. He spent the first 6 seasons with the team. He had 21 catches for 327 yards and 2 touchdowns this year. It's he's hit his ceiling there. He's hit his it's time for him to move on, do some other stuff. I did find it funny that not only had I heard early about the Mexican game, or the game in Mexico City, but on Friday they decided to announce that, you know, they actually are going to play that game. Johnny Manziel, his ex-girlfriend has gotten a protective order, and apparently he ruptured her eardrum when he hit her, according to the lady's attorney. You know, like I've said before, Johnny Manziel's current situation has nothing to do with football at this point. It's about him getting help for, if it's alcohol, whatever it is. Clearly he needs some help, and hopefully he's able to find the right kind of help. Because even the Cowboys have said that they're going to pass on him. They wouldn't pick him up if he got released, which, you know, he's supposed to get released here in a couple weeks, possibly. But, I mean, clearly Johnny, if you're listening or you're friends with Johnny, help him out. He really needs some help here. I mean, he's lost his agent. His dad thinks he won't make it to his next birthday if somebody doesn't help him. I mean, it's just kind of all crazy and you know, wish him the best. But I wanted to end on a high note. The NFL awards were the other night. Of course, Cam got MVP. Ron Rivera, Riverboat Ron, got Coach of the Year. And NFL.com's got a lot of the rest of those posted up. It looked like a pretty fun night. It was the Saturday before the Super Bowl. But, you know, congratulations to all the people that won things. And, you know, big announcement coming at the end of Falcon Zone here in a few minutes. But for right now, we're going to go to a small break. And on the other side, we'll be in Falcon Zone. See you on the other side of the break.
Impact York from Endzone here. Would you or your business like to advertise with Endzone? It's easier than you think. With many packages available, we've got the perfect deal to help you promote your business to a whole new audience. All you have to do is contact us at 3endzone@gmail.com for more info and to get started today. Let us help you grow your business.
And we're back here on the Endzone Falcon Zone Super Pro Football Show right here on Blog Talk Radio. Thanks to Impact Media again for allowing us to come on. Like I said, we will get into the big announcement here shortly, but I wanted to go over a few Falcons-related things so that you guys are caught up. There has been some developments and such. Now, the other day, I believe, he's either going to be on tomorrow or it was last Friday, but on the Rachel Ray Show, a couple of football players, including linebacker Philip Wheeler, are going to be on a cooking segment about cooking different things. He's actually going to do a lasagna. And, you know, from the previews, it looked pretty good. So, you know, good luck to Philip as far as doing those kinds of things. And I mean, clearly you're better than the rest of us as far as making all that. So what better way to follow up a, you know, follow up a good season than for him to cook lasagna with Rachel Ray. Now, the two things I was really going to talk about here is on Falcon Zone is draft needs and a position breakdown of the offensive line. Of course, the draft needs, they're going to need, to me, they're going to need help with the linebackers, safety, wide receiver, backup quarterback. These are backups, those last few. Offensive tackle, offensive line in general, defensive end, defensive tackle. I mean, there's places all over that they need some assistance, especially in the depth. As far as the position breakdown, I'm gonna go right through them. At center, they've got Greg Kowski, they got Mike Person, and they got Mr. Stone as well. Greg Kowski ended up being the more consistent one of the group, I believe. Even though I figured Stone would take it, it wouldn't surprise me if they reached out and tried to grab another one from around the league somewhere. But my guess is that depth chart goes Greg Kowski, Person, and Stone, with Stone moving around the moving around the offensive line. Now, as far as the tackles are concerned, of course, there's Harris, Matthews, Schrader. I think Harris, Matthews, and Schrader are the lone three there. Obviously, Jake is more than likely the left tackle, the blindside blocker. Ryan Schrader was actually pretty solid. You know, the Valdosta State big dog there. Did pretty well. Harris came in and was able to solidify it a little bit. I don't think there's an issue so much at the tackles. It's probably the strongest of the group here. Now, as far as the guards, they got Replago, Adam Levitre, who they traded for out for the season, Garland, Chester, Rarig. I mean, Levitre, I guess, was the one who did pretty well there. Garland was okay. The other one's kind of hit or miss. I think guard is definitely something they're going to address in free agency. If not, they'll draft some depth and try to move some stuff around. But, I mean, to me, the offensive line, we're going to try to break some of these positions down coming up. That's why I'm going to knock out the offensive line. We'll probably do wide receivers and running backs or something next time. I don't know. We'll figure out something. Text in your suggestions. But as far as the offensive line, I think besides Jake and maybe Ryan Schrader on the other side, if they put him on the right side, I think you need to find two more solid guards, and you got to find a center that's going to get the ball to Matt in a good manner. There was a lot of snap issues this year that were just unnecessary. Now, the last bit of Falcons news I have, two things in particular. One, it was revealed the other day, Arthur Blank, the owner and commander-in-chief of the Falcons, said that as of December, he got the prognosis that he has a form of prostate cancer. He said he is more than likely going to go through the rehab and surgery version of dealing with it, and that he felt like that was the best way to deal with it. He would keep us all updated as things happen. We wish Arthur a speedy recovery and good luck in dealing with prostate cancer, and look forward to seeing you back at the stadium there, Mr. Blank. Then last bit of news, the Falcons released safety William Moore and linebacker Justin Durant. They were kind of cap casualties in a way, and also it's time to move on from both those guys. They may, you know, they could always sign back for lesser contracts, but I'd be willing to bet that we've seen the last of Willie Moe, who tweeted out, "Thanks for everything, Atlanta." But like I said, him and Durant are pretty much done. There's going to be a couple more cap casualties. Those were just the first that will help the Falcons best. And, of course, all show I have teased a big announcement. The big announcement is that this is the last End Zone Falcon Zone Super Pro Football Show. And I know it makes some of you guys sad. But here's what's basically going to happen. Falcon Zone will be every 3 weeks, the same way Jaguar Zone is, and basically from here on out, once the season starts to kick back in, Jaguar Zone will be on Mondays, Falcon Zone will be Wednesday or Thursday, that hasn't been determined yet, and End Zone is getting dissolved into the two of them. So, you know, stories that happen between each show, like from, obviously from Monday night through Thursday, you know, Thursday afternoon, those NFL stories will be featured on Falcon Zone. Of course, there'll be some bleed over, too, as we talk about some of the games and things. And then things that happen from Thursday night's show through Monday afternoon will be on Jaguar Zone. So we'll talk some NFL on both shows. You get a chance to dig into some stuff, get some other guests on, get some takes on some different things. Coach and Reggie are still with us. So are John, Joseph, Joe. They're all here. I'm still here. Nobody's going anywhere. Of course, the new Jaguar Zone will drop Monday for you guys that have been asking. We've got some fun things to talk about there. Of course, that'll be every 3 weeks for now as well. And Revolution Zone will continue to be Tuesdays, all about the indoor team in Texas. You guys got to check them out. They have a super, super season ahead of them, and it's going to be a lot of fun covering them, as well as the Georgia State Panthers baseball and beach volleyball teams. And the kind of season premiere of that will be sometime next week as well. Stay tuned so that when we make that announcement, you'll be able to put it on your calendar and know when and where you can listen. And, you know, if we're able to attend, or not if we're able to attend, when we attend baseball and volleyball games, you'll be able to come check us out and come check them out as well and talk to everybody and, you know, get to say hey and let us know what you thought about the show. But, yeah, like I said, we're not going anywhere. Just the shows are changing names. After this, it'll just be Jaguar Zone and Falcon Zone. We'll talk some NFL on both of those. But that's going to do it for me this week. I'd like to say thanks to you guys for making everything super awesome. It's been a lot of fun with the End Zone Falcon Zone Super Pro Football Show. Not saying it won't ever come back, never say never. But, yeah, we're going to do it that way. And, you know, we'll see you guys in a couple weeks for the premiere of Falcon Zone right here on Blog Talk Radio. Thanks to Impact Media. I'm Jeremy the Impact York. We'll see you next week. Falcons on top, Falcons on top.
It's funny because it's true.